Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal.
At Grainger, we're for the ones who specialize in saving the day and for the ones who've mastered the art of keeping business moving. We offer industrial-grade supplies for every industry, with same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders, all backed by real people ready to help, so you can get the right answers and products right when you need them. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Crack House Chronicles, your favorite true crime podcast. I am Donnie, and here with me is Dale.
Hey, what's up?
What's going on?
Nothing fancy here, is it?
No, nothing fancy at all. We just wanted to throw you guys an episode that we had on our Patreon.
Yes, because we took the week off.
We did.
Well, not the week, but, you know, the holiday.
The holiday for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
We took off that week, but we wanted to put out an episode, and this is an episode we do have on our Patreon, but we wanted to release it to the general population.
Yeah, just so you have something to pick up on here on a Monday morning.
Yeah.
It's short and sweet, but it's a damn good story.
It is actually about Robert Harrell. He is the Fort Fisher Hermit.
Mm-hmm.
And he's from Shelby, North Carolina.
Wow, right down here.
Yeah. But he was made famous from being the Fort Fisher Hermit.
Already.
But we wanted to drop this episode for you guys and give you something to listen to while we took off.
That's right. So hope you guys had a great holiday weekend and had with your family and friends.
Yep.
I was going to say it's holiday here. I don't know if any there for
it. Yeah. It's a Thanksgiving holiday here in the U.S.
Yep.
And we wanted to give you guys this episode.
Right.
All right. See you guys next week.
Next week. Out.
Hey, welcome to the Crack House Chronicles Patreon episode. What's going on, Dale?
What's happening, brother?
What's happening with you?
I'm ready to do this little short gimmick.
Yeah, we got an episode for our patrons on Patreon.
Yeah, it's a pretty neat little story.
Yeah, something I heard about this week, and I was like, this is fascinating.
Yeah.
Because this is about a guy who is from our area.
Really close.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of parts of this. I mean, all over. It's like right around us, and, you know, Morganton and here and Shelby and Bowling Springs, and it's pretty neat, actually, and I never heard of this guy.
Yeah. But the guy we're talking about, his name is Robert Harrell.
Mm-hmm.
And just a little bit of background on Robert Harrell. I mean, we're going way back, but he was born on February the 2nd of 1893.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a little bit of discrepancy on where he was born.
What is this, like the states fighting over this guy?
I guess, because one place has him being born in Shelby, North Carolina, and another reference is having him being born in Gaffney, South Carolina.
Yeah, which is about, what, a rock's throw difference?
10 miles difference.
Yeah.
Max.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
Yeah, it could have been in between, or who knows.
But, I mean, 1893,
yeah. Who the hell knows?
Yeah, I think they wrote your place of birth on a tree back then or something.
Carbon in a rock.
Yeah. But like we said, Robert Harrell was born on February 2nd, 1893.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to school at Bowling Springs High School.
Mm-hmm.
In Bowling Springs, North Carolina. But it's not a Bowling Springs High School there anymore.
No.
They turned it over to Gardner-Webb and made it Gardner-Webb Junior College.
Right.
And now it's Gardner-Webb University.
Yeah.
There in Bowling Springs.
I think for some reason they said that he had actually quit going to school in Bowling Springs, but when they changed it over, he had actually came back. And I don't know what the full story on that was, but
yeah,
maybe liked it better.
Yeah. Now, his parents, it's been reported, they were kind of abusive.
Mm-hmm.
and which caused Robert to spend a lot of his time away from the home and just spending time in the woods.
Yeah.
I think that's just what he liked doing.
Yeah, being out there, solidarity.
Yeah.
Hanging out in the woods.
But when he got a little bit older, he married a lady by the name of Katie Hamrick in 1913. And together they had five kids.
Boy, he come out of the woods. He come out, didn't he?
Yeah, he come out. But the eldest son, is reported, he committed suicide.
Yeah, and, you know, those kids, they were all sons, and then the last one was a daughter, but she didn't live very long. She passed away pretty early. And then
I think he's like 5 weeks old or something.
And then his son committed suicide, and I think that was the start of, you know, him starting to fall apart a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe have a little bit of mental health problems.
Yeah, probably a lot to deal with.
Mm-hmm. And at one point, he was checked in to the Broughton Hospital in Morganton, North Carolina, which is not too far up the road, about, what, 26 miles up the road?
Yeah, not far at all.
Mm, not at all. But while he was there at Morganton, he left the hospital there and started hitchhiking.
Yeah, 260 miles.
Yeah, to the coast of North Carolina.
Right.
And he ended up at Fort Fisher State Recreation Area. There, on I guess it's part of the Outer Banks chain of off the coast of North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And when he got out there, he was living in a tent near the Confederate Monument near Fort Fisher.
Yes.
And then he started squatting in an abandoned World War II era bunker.
Yeah, I think they said that he had actually run into another guy who was a hermit who had told him about this place.
Yeah, I think his name was Impey Hewitt.
Yes.
Yeah. But he was staying in a World War II bunker, and, you know, people say, well, why don't you have World War II bunkers in North Carolina?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it was fought over in Europe and places like that. But it was reported that there were Nazis just off the coast of North Carolina.
Yeah, U-boats.
Yeah.
Yes, it was pretty close to being kind of invaded, I guess you could say.
Yeah, very close. So they had these bunkers off at the North Carolina coast.
Mm-hmm.
But he made one of them his little home.
And if you look at it, it looks kind of like a small cement block building is what it kind of looks like.
Yeah. But this bunker was set in a salt marsh beside the Cape Fear River. And while he was living there, he would, like, collect stuff he found, driftwood, to, you know, furnish his little home there, and was able to gather much of the food he needed from the marsh and the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
He would catch fish and clams and oysters, and it was reported he even started a little vegetable garden there to help supplement his diet.
Right.
He also learned like a lot of his survival skills from Impey Hewitt, we were talking about, which was a true hermit.
Yeah. Yeah, he didn't want, Impey was, they say, a true hermit, because he didn't really want any visitors at all, and that was not the case with Robert.
Mm-mm. Robert, he loved to talk to visitors.
Mm-hmm.
And he even had a frying pan that he would lay out for donations.
Yeah. Yeah, he was pretty popular around. You know, I mean, when he first went to Fort Fisher, as soon as he got there, he got arrested for vagrancy, and they sent him right back to North Carolina, or right back up to Morganton, and then he had to go back again. But when he went the next time, is when we're talking about now. But so that was pretty heartfelt to hitchhike that 260 miles and get sent right back home.
Yeah.
But yeah, when he came back and then got a thing going here, he was a really part of the community here.
Mm-hmm. And he even had a guest book that he kept, and there were thousands and thousands of entries from people who would visit him to sign his guest book.
Yeah. It said on average it was like 17,000 visitors a year.
Yeah. And Robert Harrell, he became the second largest tourist attraction in the state of North Carolina.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, trailing only by the USS North Carolina battleship there in Wilmington.
Hmm.
So just him being a hermit out there on Fort Fisher, he was a attraction.
He's a pretty popular hermit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, a lot of people would go down and hang out with him and stuff and come by and see him, sign his book, and give him a couple of dollars or whatever. And then some nights he would go out there and just some youth, you know, people go out and hang out and drink some beer and hang out by his fire and just sit with him.
Yep.
It's pretty neat.
And he would talk about his philosophy,
mm-hmm.
in which he sort of termed the school of common sense. That's what he dubbed it.
Right.
And he told people who came to see him that he was writing a book called A Tyrant in Every Home. But yeah, like I said, people would come and visit him and put money in his frying pan. That would give him a little bit of money to go into town and buy certain things he needed, and he would be spotted around town, you know, in local convenience stores and grocery stores, just buying his little supplies that he needed to survive on that he couldn't find out.
But plus, you know, this also becomes a double-edged sword, because now you're popular and people know you got money out there. There was a time when some people went out there and tried to steal his money, beat him up pretty bad, and he actually went to court. And he was the chief witness and the prosecutor,
his own lawyer.
His own lawyer, yeah. And, you know, went in and actually got these guys convicted for coming there and assaulting them and stealing his money.
Yeah.
And then another time, he was charged with vagrancy and defended himself in court and got out of that, too. So he's pretty good at what he's doing.
Yep. But after living as a hermit for 17 years, Robert Harold, he died under some mysterious circumstances on June 4th of 1972.
Yeah, so they say.
Yeah, the New Hanover County coroner pronounced the cause of death as a heart attack, but there were some local rumors suggested that Robert Harold may have been killed after a violent attack by a group of three men. And there was a fisherman allegedly said he saw three men speeding away in a car. But there was no autopsy in the case.
Yeah, they refused to do one.
Yeah. But they said his body was in his little bunker there. It was kind of, he had beat up marks, and the way he was displayed there, it just wasn't the way he would sleep.
Right. Well, it said that some teens went down to visit him in one morning. They went down and didn't see him out by his little garden, and he wasn't sitting over in the shade or nowhere. And they looked, and he had a makeshift plywood door on the front of his little bunker there.
Mm-hmm.
And they moved it, and he was in there dead. And so they went and got the authorities. And when they came back, they found that there were tire tracks around, and his sleeping bag was down in the marsh. And then they found a shoe was buried up, like where somebody had stepped in down in the marsh, and it sunk up, you know, pretty deep. And when you pull your foot out, the shoe stays buried.
Yeah.
They had left their shoe. So it was definitely foul play, and he'd been beat up, and said basically the scene looked like they had drug him down, beat him up, and then kind of either drowned him or whatever in a sleeping bag, and then left the bag there and drug him back up to make him look like he was sleeping in the inside of his bunker.
Mm-hmm.
But he definitely was not sleeping. And so they knew it was foul play, but then the coroner said it was a heart attack, so then there was no investigation because he didn't say it was a murder.
Yeah.
Which is bullshit to me, but so there was nothing ever done about it because basically what the coroner ruled.
Yeah. But he was brought to Shelby, North Carolina, and buried at Zor Baptist Church in Shelby. But then it was later his body was exhumed and an autopsy was performed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they did determine that his heart was healthy, and it didn't look like it appeared to have had a heart attack.
Right. So he was definitely killed.
Yeah, definitely. But he was laid to rest at Federal Point Cemetery there out near the coast of North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And I've read, too, about this place. It is a gated cemetery. I think you have to have a pass to get in or purposes to be in there.
Oh, wow.
It's not just somebody, you just can't go visit this cemetery, which would be great to go visit.
Oh, yeah.
But we wanted to cover this case because I thought it was very fascinating.
Oh, it definitely is.
The reason I found this case was I was researching some stuff on Reddit on Davina Buff Jones, you know, because I'm fascinated by her case from Bald Head Island.
Right.
And there was a Reddit thread of somebody mentioning Robert Harrell, the Fort Fisher hermit out there. And I was like, I've never heard of this cat. And I got to researching a little bit and got to deep diving and going down some rabbit holes on it. And it was pretty fascinating.
Yeah. There's even a hermit society was founded to commemorate his life, you know.
Yeah.
Down there. It's pretty neat.
Yeah. But he just was just a guy who lived off the land and just wanted to do his own thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think he even told him one time that he should get a deed for his property there. He said, if I have a deed, I'd have to pay taxes for it. So
yeah, no doubt. Yeah, and Michael Edwards wrote The Battle of Independence, the story of the Fort Fisher Hermit. And it's the Hermit Society, gives out certificates of graduates of the School of Common Sense.
Well, they need to enroll some more people in that.
Yeah, definitely.
These days, yeah.
Yeah, because there are not many people passing that.
But the bunker where Robert Harrell lived is still standing and can be reached by following the Basin Trail at the Fort Fisher State Recreation Area. And there's a plaque on the bunker that commemorates his occupation there.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
At least they didn't go in and tear it down.
And, you know, I was just out there
last
year at Fort Fisher. I went to the aquarium and stuff, and I was just a hand's throw away from all this and didn't even know it was there. So I got a reason to go back.
Yep.
Very cool. But anyway.
Cool little story, yeah.
But that is the story of the Fort Fisher Hermit.
It's kind of a compact little story, but it's pretty cool to tell.
Robert Harrell. There's a ton of YouTube videos on him, and there is one I watched that's got, I think it was filmed back in the 80s. That's got some family members and stuff they've interviewed and talking about his life and some little video clips of Robert Harrell out there at his little bunker, just living life.
Yep, with his big straw hat on.
Yeah.
Pretty cool looking guy.
Yep. Just a little man. All right, dude, we're going to get out of here.
All right, man, let's roll.
All right, y'all be good.
See ya.